Psalm 73, as Brother Bobby brought forth in the devotion this morning, and how it is what the Lord has told us about the end of the age and signs of His coming and such as that, because of an uprising in evil and the seeming profit, if you will, and blessing of the wicked, the Lord's people can become discouraged. And this truth about the Lord saving a remnant, there was one that came to the Lord in the day of his ministry, and he said to him, Lord, there be few that are saved. Right? Isn't that right? There's few that are saved. And Jesus' reply to him was, you seek to enter in at the straight gate. And so I take from that it is true, and it is a sober outlook, that there are few that be saved. But we don't need to take that truth of that and cause that to ill affect us in our calling by the Lord, His salvation of us, and His calling to the work that He's given us to do. We have been rescued from sin and self, the world, Satan, from hell, and the lake of fire. We have everything to live for and nothing to give up for. And so, or that should cause us to give up. And so, may the Lord help us that we keep our eyes focused upon our Lord Jesus, what He's called us to do, the promises that He has for us, and keep on keeping on till our Lord comes back for us. Because as Brother Asaph writes here in this Psalm 73, if we get our focus off of our Lord, we can get discouraged. And so the Lord's given us this psalm, amongst other things in the Scripture, to encourage us in Him and that we might know the truth. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Brother Asaph's perspective is that of being an Israelite. He is a minister in the temple and a minister in the singing, the writing of psalms for the worship of the Lord. And so that's his context. He doesn't know particularly about the salvation of Gentiles too. It's in the Word of God to come from his day. There is a mention about it in the Scripture that he does have. But it's the Lord's deliverance and rescue of Israel, and His promises to Israel is the context that He comes from. But you and me, we understand that, as the Lord Jesus said, those that are of a clean heart, those that have been saved, those that have their righteousness in the Lord, He has been and is very good to us. He said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. I didn't have much traction in this state of heart and mind that I was in. My steps had well nigh slipped. And remember that. Remember that reference. He said, I felt like I was on slippery ground. I felt like this wasn't very stable at all. He said, because I was envious at the foolish. I became covetous regarding them in their way. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, he saw that the wicked was prospering in his day. And understand, according to this, given to him by the Spirit of God, he takes and the Lord joins the foolish and the wicked. They are one and the same. He was envious at their prosperity. He said, for there are no bands in their death. They don't have any fear of death at all. But their strength is firm, from the standpoint of what can be seen. Their wealth, their people, the world's way are behind them. They just seem to be just doing great. They are not in trouble as other men. They don't seem to have any trouble that comes their way. Neither are they plagued like men or other men. They've just got it all good. Everything just sails on for them. No trouble. No trouble whatsoever. There is no limit, it seems, to what they do and how they pursue and how they are successful. And he says, because of that, therefore, pride encompassed them about as a chain. Their pride and all of their success and their wealth and their ability, their pursuits, their conceitedness, their pride just swells up. And he says, I see that it's like a chain. And when you hear about a chain, what is it about a chain? A chain is serious, serious bondage, isn't it? A chain is indicative of strength. And he said, a chain, the chain of their pride has surrounded them. Violence covereth them as a garment. It's violence is what they wear. They are dominators of people. Dominators of the situations and the pursuits of their lives. They are bold. And it's like there's no stopping them. They have great, great success in everything. Brother Job speaks about this. I think it's most parallel. And in Job 24, we'll just touch on a few points here in this chapter. He continues on from chapter 23, and in chapter 24 of Job, he says, why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know Him not see His days? Some remove the landmarks. They violently take away the flocks and feed thereof. They drive away the ass of the fatherless. They take the widow's ox for a pledge. They turn the needy out of the way. The poor of the earth hide themselves together because of these that are Job is talking about. Behold, as wild asses in the deserts, go they forth to their work. They're just mad in what they pursue, rising betimes for a prey. The wilderness yieldeth food for them and for their children. They reap everyone his corn in the field. They gather the vintage of the wicked. They cause the naked to lodge without clothing. They have no covering in the cold. They are wet with the showers of the mountains and embrace the rock for want of shelter. They pluck the fatherless from the breast and take pledge of the poor. They're just abusive in every way. As it says in verse 4 of Psalm 73, Brother Asaph's discourse here, he said, there's no bands, they've got pride and boldness. They just don't care who they hurt. They're just doing their own thing. In verse 7 of this Psalm 73, he says, their eyes stand out with fatness. I mean, they are plump with the fatness and the goodness of the land. They have more than heart could wish. They've got more than they could ever spend in a lifetime. He says, they are corrupt. They speak wickedly, verse 8, concerning oppression, because they like oppression. Everything in our nation that has been supposedly sacred in the last 30 or 40 years has all been turned upside down. And the very, you name the perceived and pursued goodness of men, and it's been turned upside down, and that very thing is the thing that's been turned upon others. I tell you what, it can be discouraging. And Brother Asaph's discouraged. He is discouraged indeed. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. Oppression of their select, the ones that they choose and believe should be oppressed. There's no problem with that. They speak loftily. They speak as if they know what is right, what is eternal. A day in which Isaiah prophesies about in Isaiah 5:20, where evil is called good and good is called evil, and they do it with a straight face. It's just a matter of fact. Lies are told to be the truth. The unreasonable is told to be what is reasonable and right. And what has been known for centuries among mankind is told to be a falsehood and not true. They set their mouth against the heavens, and that's what's happening in it. Everything that God has given to mankind that's foundational, the wicked in our day look to take and uproot it and upset it. They are doing so. And you know what? It's amazing how such a minority can do so. And how there is a people that stands for what's true and what's noble and what's moral and what's right. But then there's that people, there's that folks, as just as it was in the day of the deliverance of Israel out of the land of Egypt, there's that mixed up multitude in the middle that's looking both ways and can't make up their mind and will run the easiest path just like water, just to conform, just to get along. Brother Asaph was very sad about it. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Tongue walking through the earth. Proverbs, Brother Solomon speaks much about the prating fool, the prating tongue. The tongue that just speaks idle words. I spoke to you or mentioned to you recently about how a senator in our nation, our federal government, as he confronts some in our nation that are looking to establish policy and they are in the leadership of the bureaucracy of our nation, and how they speak nothing but word salad. They say words, but it means nothing. You know, don't be someone that just speaks word salad, just to speak, to be speaking, but saying nothing. He says that's what they do. Their tongue walketh through the earth, talking and talking and talking and talking, but not unto edification, not unto blessing, not unto praise and glorifying of the Lord, not even to proclaim that which is right and moral and aside from God, known to be the best that there can be in design of home and the family and of society. There's no way that is good for society than the way that the Lord has given unto us. But they set their mouth against the heavens, our brother says, and they go speaking idle talk and wicked and evil things through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither. They are confederate one with another. His people, there are no bands in their death. Their strength is firm, as it says in verse number 4. And therefore, the wicked, his people return hither. They go and pursue these things. There's no limit unto them. And waters of a full cup are wrung out unto them. They are of the world. They work in the world. And the blessing of the world is just poured out upon them. And it doesn't matter bringing it to our day. It doesn't matter if it's illegal. There's no one to prosecute. It doesn't matter if it's against the law of the land or the Constitution or whatever. There's no one that will stand to say that is against the law of our country and to bring them to justice. Verse 11, and they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? They, as it was in Asaph's day, they said, God doesn't care. They at least acknowledged that God was there. But in our day, there's a total defiance and a thinking that God, a lie that has been promoted and received, that God doesn't even exist. We are our gods, they say. They say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? They think God is like them, another man, another woman like them. And therefore, as they are, as they can take and just discount whatever group or whatever persons or people that they wish to discount, they take in their minds, and they discount God as just another person. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches, as we've seen in verse 10. Waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. As we've seen in verse 4, there's no bands in their death. There's no fear. And their strength is firm. They have no trouble. These are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Asaph, in his worst state, he says, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain. I've tried to pursue what's right and what's godly, and it's just empty. I've tried to follow what is right and what is pure and holy, and it's been in vain. I've washed my hands in innocency. I've put sin away. I've put sin away from me. And it has cost me. I mean, Brother Asaph's just not having a bad day. He's hurting. He's hurting in this. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. The Spirit of God within him is speaking to his heart about, and he is in a strait about what he sees and what is allowed by the wicked and what's pursued by the wicked and how they have no trouble and how they have no limit, how they have no fear. They have forsaken the law of God and the existence and the power of God in their lives. And he says, I've looked to try and pursue what's right. I put away sin from me, and the Spirit of God chastens me every morning. As it is, as we know that the Scripture tells us in Hebrews 12, that the Lord chastens who He loves. And He chastens us for our profit. If I say, I will speak thus, I'm going to stand for what's right, I'm going to tell what's right to those in my life and those around me. Behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. I'll be an offense if I stand for what's right. When I thought to know all of this, it was too painful for me. It hurt. It squeezed me in my heart and my spirit. I know that there's a right way, but I know that I should pursue the right way of the Lord and be obedient to the Lord, that the Lord is there and the Lord is true. Who is he crying to? The Lord. I see about how they go and what they do, and they just don't care. And it seems to be indeed to be very weighty to me, but to take a stand and to be that one to be found in offense. And all of this, it was too painful for me. Until I went to the sanctuary of God. See, we as the Lord's children and people, we need to worship our Lord continuously. We need to be thankful unto Him without ceasing. We need to be in communication with Him always. We in this strait in which we find ourselves, and it is ultimately to our Lord's glory, but we've got this old man that still looks on at the world. If we let him loose, he looks on the world like the old man does. Yet the new man, the Lord Jesus, lives within us, and He does all things well, and He leads us and instructs us in righteousness, and His Word bears witness with that Spirit, His Spirit within us, and shows us wondrous, marvelous things about how we are to live and how we are to operate and behave and work, how we're to be less like ourselves and more like Him. And we need that constant fellowship and worship of Him. Brother Asaph, the worship that was given by God in his day was to assemble in the holy convocation of the nation of Israel at the temple, at the tabernacle, and in those times that had been given, to come and to sing in the temple that Solomon had built, and to hear the word of God read, and to offer the sacrifices that God had commanded them to do for the honor and glory and worship and praise of Jehovah God. If we get away from that, if we get away from fellowship with our Lord and worship of our Lord and following in Him and what He commands to take and use our very lives to love Him with everything we have and to avail ourselves to everything that He has given unto us, every opportunity, we need to do that. Because if we don't, we can get in a downtrodden way. We can get our vision and our perspective off track. We can look at things and wonder about, is it all worth it? And is it vain indeed when we get our eyes off the Lord? When we back away from Him and His worship? When we, in our context, and mine and your context, as members of Olmsted Baptist Church, when we don't meet often with the household of God that we are. He said, it was painful for me. And when I thought on it, when I considered about it, and when I waited, and this yearning within me that all this that I see without, and to stand, to be stand alone was just so hard, it was so painful to be abused, to be found in a place of abuse by that system and that world and the way that people live, to be the focus of one that would, it was too painful for me. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely, Lord, Thou didst set them in slippery places. Remember how He said in verse number 2 that His feet were almost gone? That His steps has well nigh slipped. He was feeling like He was on the slippery ground when He was in that shape and looking at it in that way and not looking at it in the light of the Lord and not looking and considering about the greatness of the Lord and the promises of the Lord. He says, what's happened here, Lord, is You put them in slippery places. They trust in their conceitedness. They trust in their pride, they trust in their wealth, they trust in their accomplishments, and indeed it is like a chain that has them bound up. if the Lord does not speak to them, they will go down. But Lord, you've spoken to me. You've visited me. And in our context, we understand indeed our Lord has saved us and put us on a solid rock, not on the shifting sand. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. This is part of what you're working is, Lord. They think that they are rising up and they are doing well. But listen, if you're here and you're not saved, they're thinking about now. But they're not thinking about eternity. And when Brother Asaph considers about eternity, he knows that he is not going to face destruction because of the salvation of the Lord. But he said, You're going to cast them down to destruction. How are they brought into desolation? Verse 19. They're bound by the chain of self-wisdom and pride, saying that and believing that gain is godliness. They think that they're well before God because of all their blessings. Remember, Satan blesses folks too. Don't forget that. He's the prince and the power of the air. Satan can bless folks too. How are they brought down into desolation? As in a moment. The moment. Living life along. And it's surely that each and every one in the house this morning knows that death for us is just a breath away. It's just a breath away. The moment of death. How are they brought to desolation? As in a moment. The moment of the Lord's return for His people. In a moment. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment. When He sets His feet on the Mount of Olives to redeem His nation. A moment. And everything changes. They are utterly consumed with terrors. Brother John the Baptist preached it. Sinners, flee the wrath to come. He said, when I went to the sanctuary, when I went to the place of worship of you, Lord, then I saw what you were doing. You've not set me in a slippery place. You've set them in a slippery place. And if they go on and they go out of life trusting in their own works and their own way and their own doings, if they deny you and what you've said about eternity, if they deny you and what you've said about the judgment, if they deny you and what you've said about the need of salvation of sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ, as a dream when one awaketh. See this sudden destruction, this desolation, as in a moment, this utterly being consumed with terrors. This is why there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth by the unrepentant and unbelieving in eternity. It'll come in a moment. And it'll be too late. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Each one that goes out such and not trusting in the Lord Jesus as Savior, not believing God and what He has given to us in His Word and in His Son and in the Gospel, He will judge the wicked. And it'll be eternal. And it'll never turn. It'll never change. Folks will be there, and that desolation that comes upon them in a moment, they will say, I cannot believe this is happening to me. But it will be. Verse 21, because of this, thus my heart was grieved. I was thinking wrong, Lord. I wasn't looking at things right. I'd forgot about you and what you have done and what you've promised. I was pricked in my reins. I thought wrong against the Lord, he says. I was rebuked. I was convicted. And he repented. Thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I knew and I forgot. And now I've been reminded again. I've been reminded again. I was as a beast before thee. I was one that didn't have understanding. I was as an ununderstanding child. Nevertheless, verse 23, I'm continually with thee. Why? Because thou hast holden me by thy right hand. By my right hand. You've held me, Lord. That's the way it is when sinners are saved. They're continually with the Lord. Yeah. Ups. Downs. Lose sight of the Lord and His blessings. I'm not talking about one losing his salvation. Brother Asaph, when these things grieved him so, who did he go to? He went to the Lord. He was honest. That's one thing about the psalmist and about David. He was honest with the Lord about what he was thinking, about the thing that troubled him, about the thing that grieved him, about the thing that was on his heart that troubled him. So he was honest with the Lord. And it's good to be honest with the Lord. Brother Asaph has been honest with the Lord. Lord, these things trouble me. Lord, I don't understand these things. Lord, I'm getting envious and I'm getting covetous and I'm getting jealous about that. They just seem like they don't have any problem at all. They don't have any grief over standing for what's true or right because they just don't do it. And they don't love you. They've got no thought. Is all this just vain, Lord? Nevertheless, I am continually with thee, because you've upheld me. You've held me by my right hand, and thou shalt guide me. In the future to come, you will guide me with thy counsel, but we've got to avail ourselves to it. What is his counsel? His word, the scripture, the Bible, the words from Jesus' lips. We'll be guided by that. We just got to avail ourselves to them. We got to get in the middle of them. We got to feed on them. We got to consume them. We got to have them in us that we not forget. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, there is no way to displace sin other than with the Word of God. That is just the bottom line. You and I cannot take and displace sin in our hearts and our thinking and in our lives. We can just not displace sin from a vacuum, if you will. We've got to take it and displace it by what the Lord says. We need the Word of God. He said, you're going to guide me with your counsel. With what you've said. You know what a counselor does for their client? A lawyer for their client, a counselor for their client says, I think this is what needs to be done, what you need to do, and what I'm going to do. And our Lord Jesus is our mediator and our intercessor, and He is our instructor and our teacher. He's our master, our Savior, and our Lord. Nothing ever came out of Jesus' mouth unto us that was bad for us. Not a bit. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. You're going to lead me. You're going to counsel me with your truth and your word in this life, and then you're going to receive me up. And what that glory is, I know it is so. I have little understanding about what it is, but it'll be far and beyond what the wicked have pursued in this world. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. Lord, you're the one that I have in heaven. And there's no one on this earth that comes before you. My flesh and my heart faileth, and they indeed are our trouble, aren't they? But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. As Brother Isaiah writes in Isaiah 57:15, that the Lord is looking to dwell with the contrite and the broken, the repentant, and he's going to do so to revive them. He's going to dwell with them to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. God is my strength, the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Verse 27, for lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. And I'm not of that crowd that is far from you, Lord, but I am near to you because of you being near to me. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. And again, another reference to covetousness. Brother Asaph has dealt greatly with that 10th commandment, hadn't he? He said, I was envious. I was jealous of what they had. I was jealous of the way that they had. I was envious about how they do, and nothing happens to them. It just seems like everything goes just fine with them. He had a great problem with that, didn't he? That was where his eyes got off the Lord and started looking around at the world. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. In his counsel, in his word, in the worship of him personally, in the worship of him collectively with my brothers and sisters in Christ, in this house that he has built out of us, Olmsted Baptist Church. It's good for me. It's good for you. It's good for us to draw near to our God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. It was hard for him to consider about being a witness for the Lord when he saw about all the prosperity and how he was going to draw so much heat about speaking out about sin and about the Lord and about what the Lord had said, and how the wicked around him were not following that they needed to be warned about their departure from God and their thinking about God, and that God didn't care, that God doesn't know, that God hadn't commanded. But getting his eyes back on the Lord and having in that the assurances and the reminding, he being reminded of the promises of the Lord and the sure ground and the future and the eternity and the counsel of his word, he said, I'm going to declare what you've done. I'm going to declare it. Brother David said that in the psalm that he wrote regarding his repentance over the sin that he had committed and the challenge that he received from the prophet, and how all that was exposed and how the Lord dealt with him in that. He said, only when I, this is my paraphrase, but when I get back to following you and what you've said, then I can be a good witness of you to others. May the Lord help us and encourage us in these things. Brother Asaph, he had a down time, and the Lord's included that in His Word. It can be a reality for the children of God. We get our eyes off the Lord, it'll be no good for us to get our eyes off the Lord. May we walk near to Him and fellowship with Him and worship Him and take our part in the church that He's made for us and put us in. May we be filled with His Word and His Spirit, and may we be a good witness of Him and what He's done, what He's promised, what He's going to do. A good witness and testimony of that into a lost and dying world. And understand, if you're here and you're not saved, hear what the Word of the Lord says. The wicked will be dealt with and judged by the Lord. And there is no help and there is no hope apart from the salvation that the Lord only provides through His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no help or no rescue apart from Jesus. Repent of your sins. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in Him and what He did on Calvary nearly 2,000 years ago. Believe, repent, trust in Him that you not be destroyed, but that you be used to worship and praise and glorify the Lord for His mercies, for His love, for His graciousness towards sinners.